I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. Do you swear to tell the truth, Nathaniel Porter?
Yes, ma'am.
Access granted.
Lego.
Where do I start?
Spirits! Police do not have the right to touch you excessively, period. Ugh, it is so much stuff to uncover. Spirits. What are they teaching these chur in school, chur? Okay, just saying, know your laws, know your laws. Well, I have an opinion and I'm going to voice it, so. Can someone please explain to me, how is that godly? Ask yourself this question. No one is talking about it. And if they are, they're not telling you where to get it. No, okay, wait a minute. I was not ready for that laugh. Wait. Spirits. Am I right or am I right? I mean, like, I'm right.
No, seriously, that really happened.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Okay, so let's talk about it then.
Are you following your purpose?
Grand rising, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or whatever time you are listening to this. And Abarigani, my beautiful spirited butterflies. So, for those of you who do not know, Abarigani is Swahili for what's the news. And I said this in my last podcast, I'm going to be saying it often to get you, you know, accustomed to Swahili, African rituals, as well as Kwanzaa. So today is December 26, 2022, and we're celebrating the first day of Kwanzaa. Before we get into Kwanzaa, I want to say thank you so much, new listeners, as well as old listeners. You could be anywhere in the world, but you are here with your girl, so I appreciate you. Literally, thank you so much. For the new listeners, if you are new, this is called The Inauguration. This is where I talk about my week. I talk about my poetry, my business, my children, my YouTube, my social media. And that's what it is. So let's get into the inauguration. My week. First, before we talk about my week, I have to let you know today we're celebrating Kwanzaa. It is the first day of Kwanzaa. And the first day of Kwanzaa, we celebrate with unity. Unity in Swahili is umoja, spirit. So what that means is, or actually how you celebrate that is you get together with your family. You know, you talk about all y'all problems, right? Y'all start getting high. You know, I'm just playing. I'm thinking about the movie Friday. But you know what I'm saying, spirit. So you get together with your family. You talk about all your problems. You go over any animosity, any hatred, any unresolved issues, you know? Because family means everything. It's the people you came into this world with, in a way. So if there are ones that you just can't deal with, I get it. But the ones that you still have a yearning for, your spirit is still quenching for, please, you know, love on them. Have some umoja, okay? So, yes, that is what we're doing, celebrating Kwanzaa. So, for me, my week, before I talk about how we're going to celebrate Kwanzaa, let me tell you about my week, okay? My week is literally like a cartoon show or TV show, spirits. Honestly, last week, lately I've been, it seems like every week I learn a new lesson. And I don't know if this is just me, but I feel like, I hope this is, I don't know. This is crazy, but literally it's like a TV show. Every week I learn a new lesson. So the lesson I learned this week is, last week, spirits, I was talking to you about, you know, learning the duration of how much access I allow people to have of me, right? Like, because I don't want to get drained, or I don't want to get pushed or bullied into doing something I don't want to do, right? So I've been focusing, really harnessing in on how much access I allow. So this past week, my cousin reached out to me, and she has a son, my oldest cousin. I call her AP, but her name is April. She has a son that's in college, and he plays for a Division I football team. I believe it's LSU. I'm not sure. And he's number 15 for Missouri State, you know, and he's a defensive lineback. Now, I'm not a sports person when it comes to the rules and the positions and all that stuff, right? I just know how to, like, you give me the ball and I'm gonna make it do what it do, baby. You feel me? But as far as, you know, all the how to do it, you know, you're talking to the wrong person. That's not necessary, you know. There's a difference between a hooper and a basketball player, and I'm definitely a hooper or whatever when it comes to a ball. Like, I can hit it, I can throw it, I can, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know how to play the game, but not with the rules, right? So here I am. It's like below zero. It's not really below zero, Spirits, but you know, we're in Florida and it feels like it's below zero, but it's like 30 degrees. And literally right now it is 54 degrees in outside. So it's cold for us Floridians. I don't care how long I lived in Washington State, it is cold. So I'm at this game. I kind of didn't want to be there because it was cold. And there were things that I needed to get done at home. And I was also very overwhelmed at my schoolwork. So I really did not want to go, but I also wanted to go to support my cousin and her son. So, but I felt like it started to become more of an obligation than something fun. Because it was more like, how many people going? Are you sure you're going? Da, da, da. And I just kind of started to feel like, dang, like, if I go, I go. But I understood that my cousin had to get the tickets for everyone and make sure everyone was accounted for. And I get that. Like, I get that. But for some reason, all of those tiny details, all those little minutiae, that makes me nervous. Like, I'm like, chill out. Because now you're putting an obligation on me. And see, I don't like, let's take this heat off the pressure cooker. You know, so anyways, I go, and you know, I already kind of felt awkward because some of my family members, some of the younger ones, they don't really like me. They feel like I'm too opinionated. They feel like I'm too old school. They feel like all these things, right? Because I'm not super cool, and I don't want to like party and whatever. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. I could care less, right? But I know they have some type of weird animosity towards me. And so I typically don't like being in rooms where I'm not like really, 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 I don't really feel comfortable. And so I get there, I see my cousin, I'm like, hey, you know, everybody kind of seems very standoffish, you know? And I love my family. I like to hug everybody. I like to kiss everybody. I like to spank people on their booty and stuff. And the vibe wasn't there. You know, the vibe was weird, right? So the vibe was off. I already didn't want to be there. It was cold. So these are three strikes, right? So I get there, and again, I don't understand the rules. So I noticed that my cousin just kept pushing other players. And so I happened to ask his mom and say, hey, quick question, what is his job exactly? And she says, oh, well, he's a defensive linebacker. And I said, based off my observations, it seems as if he's not gonna get the ball ever. Is that the case? And she was like, yeah, more than likely he's the defense. You know, he makes sure that, you know, the opposite team doesn't hit his quarterback or, you know, get the ball, whatever. I'm like, okay, So not even by accident he's going to get this ball. She was like, no, not even, like, sometimes, but not necessarily. Okay. So when it comes to me, I like to cheer. I like to be like, oh, you better go and get it, and you got it, and you better run, and you better do that. You know, I wasn't able to really take part in that, I felt like. So all these things I felt like was really against me, spirits. And I just was like, what's going on? So I look over at my sister and I look at her and I go, hey, you know, I feel like she felt alone, or she, you know what I'm saying? Because her and I, we don't, our older cousins are the ones we're connected to, but the younger ones we're not really, like, we don't always hang out with. So it's always kind of weird sometimes. It's a very awkward, like, awkward turtle in the room every now and then. So I look at her and I'm like, hey, I'm about to dip out. I'm about to catch an Uber, bro. And she was like, kind of like, why? And I was like, well, a lot of odds are stacked up against me. And now I'm just not finding out he's never touching the ball. So I feel like the support that I want to offer, I can't. So I feel like I'm just kind of outside of my comfort zone and where I want to, how I want to move moving forward in 2023. And I just kind of felt like it just wasn't me. So I said all that to say, spirits, is that I felt bullied, I felt pressured. And that's, you know, that's what this whole episode is about. And we're going to talk about why I titled this Don't Bully Me PTSD. So, but that was my week. Now, poetry, I said before, coming up in January, I'm going to be putting out two new 30 to 40 second poems. So be on the lookout for that. My business, spirits, for those of you who do not know, I am the CEO and founder of Kamau Empire Community and Public Relations. What is that? That is a public relations firm, but we also are building a community and are helping the community in so many ways. I want to talk to you about the holiday hours. I don't want to get too much into my business. I want to talk to you about the holiday hours. I am not available. We are not available whatsoever when it comes to social media managing, branding, marketing, or graphic design for Kwanzaa. However, we are available for free consultations, as well as teachings of Kwanzaa. That is it. My children are doing really well, spirits. They are out for the holidays. You know, I told my daughter, you know, after I talked to her about soccer last week, I told her this week, I hear what she's saying about not wanting to play, but her only reason for not wanting to play is because she literally just doesn't want to do anything, like nothing, but just like be on the phone. So I don't condone that. So she's playing. Yay. She's not happy about it, but I am. And I feel like the energy, the exercise, the sportsmanship, all these things that she's going to be accumulating is going to is going to be really good for her. So I'm excited about that. Last and final, spirits, I wanted to make this morning greeting short, this inauguration short. So final is my YouTube channel. Woo! Woo! So excited. I have an episode coming out today at 8 p.m. on YouTube under the Miss Kiki Kamau channel. Okay? That is the sixth episode on how to celebrate Kwanzaa. On the sixth day, it is Swahili for Kuamba, which means creativity. So we're going to be talking about that on YouTube. I'm putting these out. I have the sixth one and the seventh one is coming this Friday. So that way you can see and get ready and really celebrate Kwanzaa with your family. So let's talk about the reason why I titled this episode, Don't Bully Me PTSD. I want some of you to know, spirits, that when it comes to breaking generational curses for me, it is very important that everything that I go through, I want to try and prevent for my children and anyone else that I can. When it comes to like things that I know are curses that need to be broken. One of the curses that I wanted to mention is bullying. We bully a lot in the family. In our own families. My family, I'm sure your family, there's always bullying like, oh, you're fat. Oh, look at your ugly face. Or, oh, you bald head. That shit has got to stop. Also, what needs to stop is telling our younger children or our younger siblings, go give grandpa a kiss on his cheek, or go hug your cousins, even if they don't want to. Making them do things outside of their comfort zone just because it's their family member. I know sometimes my daughter gets upset with my mom and she doesn't want to give her a hug, and I would make her give her a hug. And if she doesn't give her a hug, I'll go, "You are so disrespectful. I can't believe you do that to your own grandma. She ain't gonna be here." Da, da, da. And that is just horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. And I hit my own self on the hand for it, because we have got to stop this. Stop forcing ourselves and our children to do things outside of our comfort zone. It's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to set foundations and rules on who you are, so that way you can protect your peace and your sanity. Bullying comes in so many different forms, and it can cause a huge form of PTSD as well. The thought of, I have to do something to make somebody happy, it becomes a people-pleasing type of thing if you're bullying children or your family members to do something they don't want to do. Go to a party, go to a club, go to a dinner, go whatever. So, super duper excited, because here today I have my good friend. He is also an Air Force veteran. Nathaniel Porter is going to be talking about bullying. He's going to be talking about PTSD and his book titled Carmen. So stay tuned for that, spirit. We're going to get into the quotes. Then we're going to go into the interview with Nathaniel Porter. Final thoughts and outro. Lego. Stop letting people who do so little for you control so much of your mind, feelings, and emotions. By Will Smith. Spirits, welcome back to my show. If you are new or just tuning in, you are listening to my First Amendment podcast, and I am your host, Miss Kiki Kamau, and we are talking about chilling and healing all, you know, December long. But in the midst of chilling and healing, you know, we're talking about PTSD. So, you know, a lot of things can cause PTSD, but one of the things is bullying. One of the things is, you know, picking on someone and constantly attacking someone. That can definitely affect someone's mental and spiritual as they develop throughout life. So here to talk to me a lot more about that topic is my good friend, Nathaniel Porter. Yay! So Nathaniel, thank you for coming to the show.
Miss Kiki, definitely thank you for inviting me. And it's an honor to actually be on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. So now my spirits do not know who you are, but you and I met, I think, like years ago. I want to say 8. I can't remember. And so, you know, I know that you are prior military. I know that you you deal in not social services, but you know what I'm saying?
Social work.
And, you know, all that good stuff. I know you, right? Basically is what I'm saying. But my spirits do not know who you are, my audience. So please tell them who you are.
Okay. My name is Nathaniel Porter. I'm originally from Camden, New Jersey. If most of you know that area, it's a bit rough. I've graduated high school, graduated community college. I enlisted in the military, served about 6 years from 2002 to 2008. After that, I went to University of South Florida and got my bachelor's degree in social work. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've actually been working the social work field between counseling, homeless advocacy, and as well as just case management work.
Wow. Okay. Nice. And then I also know that you wrote a book.
Yes.
Yeah. So before we start talking about, your book. Tell me, like, what, because I know you also, you know, you were prior military, and I had another veteran on the show as well. And, you know, I'm a veteran as well. So we're talking about PTSD, right? Talk to me about, like, your military services. Like, what was that like for you, your military career?
The first 3 years of my military career, I was a military police officer in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibilities basically were, of course, to serve and protect the base installation that I was deployed to,
mm-hmm.
Or as well as stationed at, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The second 3 years of my career, I was a chaplain assistant.
Mm-hmm.
Due to injuries and whatnot, I couldn't continue being military police officer.
I didn't know you were a chaplain assistant.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Okay, you never told me that.
And so with that position, I mean, it was a little more laid back because, mm-hmm. you know, we worked more in the chapel and just assisted the chaplains.
Nice.
Although it was the deployment again that mm-hmm. things were a little more intense because as a chaplain assistant, you not only assist the chaplain with, mm-hmm. you know, whatever their recommendations are, what it is that they're trying to, you know, what their job is regarding chaplaincy, you're also considered their bodyguard.
Mm.
So
wow.
Then again, it becomes more of that security of ensuring that wherever you go with the chaplain, you might want to be on full alert.
What?
Because if something happens to that chaplain, oh yeah, it's coming down on you.
So they give you weapons, like they
yes.
You are armed. Wow. Yes. That is so crazy. So what like, what made you join the military? That's like a question I didn't write in the outline, but I wanted to ask you that because I don't think I knew.
Well, no, that's fine. And I'm sure most veterans, they normally get that question as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you probably have gotten that multiple times as well.
Yes, but my answer is not ideal. So don't ask me.
Well, I want to honestly say it was the same thing for me. When I attended community college, it was 2020, mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, 2000, when we had a career day.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew that the program that I was in, the educational program that I was in, was basically coming to an end,
mm-hmm.
I had to come up with or at least decide another game plan so, you know, I wouldn't be left hanging.
Gotcha.
After I graduate.
Right.
So in 2000, they had career day at the community college. And I remember walking along the tables and everything, just trying to get an idea of, you know, what should my next move be.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a row of recruiters.
Mm.
And mind you, they even had, I mean, Coast Guard was even there.
Mm.
So I just started going through the tables and, you know, started asking questions mm-hmm. to see whether or not that would be a good fit for me. And even though I know I joined the Air Force, the Navy was actually my first choice.
Oh, wow.
So I had all their material and everything. Just,
what?
Yeah.
You would have been a sailor.
I went home and I kid you not, I was going through the stuff like, you know what, this is a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
But something clicked in my head. I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, all the recruiters are there except for Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And so a few days later, you know, I went back and I asked, how come the Air Force recruiters weren't there?
Mm-hmm.
And people kept saying, oh, well, you got to be smart to get in the Air Force.
What?
So
that is true. I've heard that. I mean, I don't know if that, I mean, I can't say that's true. Like, you know what I'm saying? But I understand that they're looking for like people who have more initiative when it comes to intelligence and yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's.
And studying and determination. Yeah.
That's spot on. They hold airmen to a much higher standard.
So wait, how did you transition from, you know, being dead serious about going into the Navy and then going into the Air Force? Because you felt challenged that,
yes.
I'm not, oh, okay.
Yes. I just had to prove that I could.
What? So how did you prove, like, so, because, you know, what was it, like, you got a different score on a test? Like, what'd you do? Same thing. You just went in and, went and talked to an Air Force recruiter and was right. Just like, okay, so your scores and everything never changed. Everything was just the same. You just
right.
got you. Okay. Right. So then you were in the Air Force and you said that you went to how many tours? Two tours.
Right.
Okay. So, and then you were MP, which is like a, basically like a cop, like an officer.
Right.
And then you worked as a chaplain assistant where you kind of had to secure the chaplain just in case.
Right.
When you went overseas. So that's a lot.
That is a lot.
That is a lot. So I'm sure you had to deal with like a lot of, I would say, mental and spiritual abuse. What is that? Would I be wrong for saying that or right?
I would definitely.
You would agree? Okay. So we're going to definitely talk more about that because I want to know, like, from, you know, your military history, like, do you feel like, like, do you feel like you were bullied? Do you feel like, we're going to talk a lot more about that, but I'm excited to talk about your book and how bullying correlates to PTSD. So tell me about this novel, Carmen. It's called Carmen. That just Carmen, right?
Right.
Okay. Carmen, a novel. What goes around could come back to kill you by N.J. Porter. Okay. So tell me, like, I want to go into the questions really quick, but how do you feel, like, knowing that you are an author of a book? How does that make you feel?
Believe it or not, because I feel that this story was more of a inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can say I don't really consider myself being an author yet.
What? Because, you a whole celebrity, I hear.
Well, and that's because, you know, I feel that a lot of what I put into this book
mm-hmm.
was more, I guess you can say, a religious connection.
Mm.
Like there was something that, you know, God was putting on my heart.
Mm.
And believe it or not, I mean, after 6 years of working full time, basically working full time and going back to the book
mm-hmm.
periodically whenever I had the chance. And over 6 years of doing this, I never skipped a beat.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost like it was literally just sitting there waiting for me to just continue whenever I found the chance to.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I give all glory.
You got
to God.
All glory to God. All I know glory. That's right.
I kid you not.
Well, I mean, I admire the fact that you wrote a book. I think that is very amazing and honorable. So I say you are a celebrity in my eyes.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. So, Spirit, stay tuned because we are going to get into more of what the book is about, bullying, and how it correlates to PTSD. Lego. Welcome back, Spirits. You are tuning into My First Amendment, and I am your host, Ms. Keith Kamau, and we are here with Mr. Nathaniel Porter, the author of Carmen, but he calls himself N.J. Porter on the book. So talk to me, Mr. N.J. Porter. What was the reason? I know you kind of, we talked a little bit about, you know, you were inspired by God to continue writing the book right before we went left off, but what was the reason for the book?
The reason for the book, and this is, of course, back in 2011, mm-hmm. As, of course, I was attending University of South Florida. I kept hearing numerous reports in the news about bullying,
mm-hmm.
You know, the effects of bullying, what it's actually causing students to do. And one evening, I just remember waking up the next morning, and I just had this epiphany of speaking about my own experience of bullying, what I had to go through while I was in middle school. But then a few days later, mm-hmm. I decided not to necessarily write about my history
mm-hmm.
Because I just didn't feel like people would really connect to
mm-hmm.
my story because, you know, it's me. Most people, mm-hmm. if they already don't know who I am, why would they care about my experience?
Hmm.
So I decided to twist it a little bit and make it more of a murder mystery.
Hmm.
As I've found, I mean, I myself, I'm very attracted to murder mystery
mm-hmm.
stories. And I figured, you know what? A murder mystery story based on bullying would be more phenomenal than anything.
Gotcha.
And then not on top, on top of that, not only will I write about the experience of bullying, but I also want to incorporate how those who have been exposed to bullying
mm-hmm.
Could better deal with it, either mm. through counseling or learning how to forgive the people who
mm.
caused the bullying in the first place, versus holding on to it.
Wow. Okay.
And of course, when you read through the story, that's pretty much Carmen's problem.
Gotcha.
She's still holding on to it years later.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, again, when she finds the opportunity of being able to go and get these people, she takes it.
So is there a spoiler alert? Because I'm like, now I'm like, wait a minute. Are you telling too much? Because my question is, because you said Carmen is the one, you know, she's been bullied.
Right.
She's looking, you know, to get revenge. But then there's a detective.
Right.
That is, who is he after? Is he after Carmen or is he after her bullies?
Carmen is trying, or not Carmen, I'm sorry. The detective is Detective Jackson Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's a veteran detective, the first murder in the story, he was actually put in charge of because the crime was so heinous.
Mm.
It was a lot more bizarre than what he's normally used to.
Gotcha.
And so his supervisor insisted that he work the case to try and find out who actually done this because, again, it was so heinous.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually looking for the killer.
Oh, got you. Gotcha.
And of course,
see, that is the spoiler. No, so no, Carmen no, is not the killer. Oh, no, you oh, okay?
No, Carmen is the killer.
Oh,
but what I'm not disclosing.
Got you. Okay.
What I'm not disclosing.
Okay.
Would if I were to say it, then evidently that would be the spoiler.
Got
the
you.
The catch is.
So the wait, if there's a catch, don't tell me the catch.
Well, no.
Oh, don't tell me the spoiler, but tell me the catch.
Right.
Gotcha.
The catch is the detective works these cases,
and
it becomes more of like a serial killer, I guess you can say a serial killer.
Like a case. Yeah, like a case, right. like episodes, like constant episodes of.
And that's where the detective starts to get a little more desperate
because
now he's like, oh, my God, these people are being killed the way that they're being killed. I really need to find this.
Wow.
So, again, the catch is with him trying to find out who it is. When he gets an idea of who it might be, as he soon would, he has to find out how she's doing it because I have her locked away at a psych ward.
Wow. That's amazing. I love that. I'm so excited. And, you know, I keep on saying, you know, when you gave me the book, I was in school. I'm still in school. So as soon as I'm done, I promise. But this is like a huge book. What I love about it is that you took your time and it's like over 500 pages.
Right.
So I love this book. You have an Instagram specifically for this account, for this book. Okay. So really quick. Let my spirits know where they can find you on Instagram or where they can purchase the book.
Well, I have a website exclusively for my novel, and that's at www.njportercarman, that's KARMAN.com. You can actually click that link. And you can purchase the ebooks, which would be Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Nice.
Or you can purchase the paperbacks, which also includes my autograph. But you would have to purchase those through the PayPal link. And as soon as I get the message, then I go ahead and, of course, sign the book. And then I, you know, send it to whichever address is on the PayPal account.
Yes, I love that.
And the best part is also if you purchase the paperback, you not only get the autograph, but you also get a free t-shirt.
What?
The cover of the book on it.
Oh, nice. Look at you. I love that. And then you also have an Instagram attached to this account. What is the Instagram?
The Instagram is...
Is it NJ Porter?
NJ Porter underscore or NJ underscore Porter. P-O-R-T-E-R.
Okay. NJ underscore Porter. Gotcha. All righty. So that is that spirit. So if you are looking to purchase Carmen, the novel, it is about bullying. It is a detective in there. It is like crime. It is murder mysteries, all kinds of stuff. So if you are interested in that, definitely go check out that on his website. And I will be linking that all of, and you know, at the outro, right? Okay. So talking about bullying, you know, you put bullying in the book. You said you were bullied. You say a lot of people wouldn't connect to your story.
Right.
What? Tell me a little bit about, like, your bullying history.
In middle school, and I want to start there first.
Okay.
there was one guy, he went to our middle school, but he never rode our bus. I guess he was an eighth grader, and I think he had his own vehicle. But he used to always come up to the corner and just, you know, frustrate people, bother mm-hmm. people, you know, just make himself the center of attention.
Right.
And I remember one week, he decided to start speaking to me, you know, talking to me out of turn and you know, just being disrespectful and ignorant.
Mm-mm.
Now, mind you, because I didn't really give him the satisfaction, you
right.
know, I tried ignoring him, just avoiding him. It was the next week where I guess you can say things got a little more heated,
mm-hmm.
because I felt that because he saw that I wasn't paying no attention to him,
mm-hmm.
he decided to get into my face, and then he decided to punch me in my arm.
Oh, wow.
Now, mind you, had I probably been in a household where, you know, I was being loved and nurtured and, mm-hmm. and things as such, maybe the punch would not have led me to become so, I guess you can say,
enraged.
So, right.
Gotcha.
Right. And when he did that, yeah, I got with a new student who had just started riding our bus.
Mm-hmm.
I got with him and I knew he was in a gang.
Mm-hmm.
And because this guy that punched me was, you know, this big, tall athlete guy, I already knew trying to fight him. Yeah, that wasn't out the picture. That was out the picture.
Right.
So I got with this new friend and you know, I expressed to him how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he could give me a small gun.
Oh, and, wow. How old were you again? You said middle school.
Yeah, I was 13.
So, okay. So 13. That's eighth grade, like eighth or seventh.
Seventh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seventh grade. Yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, I kid you not, man. I would say I give it all to God.
Yeah.
Had that friend mm-hmm. shown up with that gun. Oh, yeah. I would have took care of that dude.
Oh, my God. So when you say on the book, what goes around could come back to kill you, you were serious. Like, you could literally take someone's life for bullying. And that's very true. Yes. Like, people are picking on you. So you got picked on in middle school. Did you feel like you were bullied throughout high school at all?
High school wasn't as bad, believe it or not. Nobody really said anything to me. I mean, people probably said smart remarks once in a while, but mm-hmm. no, nobody's never put their hands on me. In high school.
Got you.
And I'm sure had they done that, yeah, I probably would have. I do remember in ninth grade, though, mm-hmm. there was this one guy. I was in, I think it was science class.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy and his two friends, they would sit in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sitting too far away from them. And they would, you know, all joke and laugh and all whatnot and keep running their mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one week he decided that he wanted to start, you know, poking at me. And so I want to say by the end of that week or maybe the beginning of the next week, he mm-hmm. said something to me. And I don't know how I was feeling that day. All I told him was, wait until the bell rang. That was it. I didn't go off on him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, hey, listen, when the bell rings, cool. And he was, you know, laughing and joking with his friends. Hey, yeah, this and that. Bell rung. Walked outside, walked across into the grass a little bit, put my book bag down, waited for him to exit out the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
He come out the classroom. I'm like, now what?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, no, man, I can't do that, man. I got to get to my next class. I'm like, so hold on.
You was talking all that smack.
For a week and a half, you've been running your mouth.
Right.
Now that I'm ready to go off on you.
Let go.
You know what I mean?
Red light.
Straight up.
Real quick. Yeah.
So,
I understand that. So, it happened, and that's, I feel like that is very normal when you're a child, adolescent. It's not okay, but it's very normal for children to pick on other children, you know, because we don't know what's going on in the homes and stuff like that. Right. They may not be loved. We're not loved. So it's a constant battle of like, I'm not going to be no more disrespected than what I was before, or I'm not going to be disrespected, period. So that is very, like, it's very challenging as a child. But did you feel like the bullying continued throughout adulthood, like maybe when you went into college or maybe when you went into the military?
College wasn't, or community college wasn't that bad. As a matter of fact, I don't recall running into anybody with any mm-hmm. issues. It was, however, when I went into basic training,
mm-hmm.
You know, you have an abundance of personalities,
mm-hmm.
And I just remember this one guy. I can't remember his name. But he, at one point, you know, we were all doing, they called it kitchen duty.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all talking about, you know, what our plans were future-wise and things as such.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what got into this guy's head, but eventually, like maybe a week or two later, especially when he became element leader, he wanted to start poking at the bear, if you would. And he kept saying these smart remarks to me periodically. Maybe a week later after that, I noticed that he would try to push me or shove me or something, just something to try and get under my skin. And he kept doing that periodically for about 4 weeks. And I know as we were getting closer to graduating basic, I remember one time he was doing, they called it night duty.
Mm-hmm.
And he was walking around the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea was, I guess, to just ensure that everybody's being compliant with all the dorm rules and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
He decides to open up my wall locker and start shuffling through things.
Mm.
Before I knew it, he decides to, and mind you, I was trying to sleep, but, you know, that flashlight he had on, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He opens up my wall locker. He pulls out my duffel bag, which when folded up, it's really heavy.
Yeah.
And he decides to say, or he looks at it and he says, oh, this isn't folded right. And so he takes it and tosses it at me.
What?
While I'm laying down.
Oh, wow.
Like a frisbee.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just imagine something folded up like that and heavy.
Heavy and hard.
The
yeah.
corner of the duffel bag hit me in the center of my chest.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I have to ask because I know, you know, you always have to ask, what was his race?
Caucasian.
Oh, wow. What did you do?
I had to pray.
Oh, my Nate.
I had to pray.
It couldn't have been me.
Listen,
everybody can break. Listen, so you didn't tell nobody, you didn't like go tell a sergeant or what, you know, what do you call you guys, Kate, you know?
No,
any of those.
I tried speaking to a TI earlier, probably like a week earlier,
yeah,
in regards to, you know, his behavior and things. He wasn't my TI. He was substituting for my TI because my TI, I guess he had that week off or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, I do respect this TI because he did speak to the unit, the whole unit, regarding how to treat one another.
Right, right, right.
So I give him that respect, but I still don't feel like it did anything in regards to this idiot because the week later, he did that.
Yeah.
And so... that's when, yeah, after that happened, I remember sitting up and I had all these thoughts going through my mind, like, what should I do to this guy?
Right.
And before I knew it, I was thinking about the iron in my wall locker.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, cool. So I'm gonna plug it in for about 10 minutes. And as soon as he lay his monkey behind down to sleep, I'm gonna go down there and I'm gonna smash it on his face.
Mm.
It took me about 5 to 10 minutes to decide not to do it. And I do believe that if you've ever watched the cartoons where the devil and the angel, I want to say that was my moment
So that's why you didn't retaliate, because the angel spoke out a little louder than the devil. Gotcha.
The angel told me to just hold off, because regardless of how you are being treated or whatever, the Air Force still requires you to be the bigger person.
Got you.
And I already know that had I gone down there and done that, yeah, chances are I probably would have been kicked out of the service because of that. Or at least that's my
your take on, yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, but you don't want to take the risk and then, you know, lose that.
Wow. Wow. That couldn't have been me. I gotta be honest, but that's another story for another day. So you felt like from all of that, like, and then was there ever more traumas that, you know, that happened in the military that, you know, that was bullying related or you know, that you felt attacked or
the,
you don't have to tell all your stories, but I just, you know,
well, no,
do you feel like
the only other incident I can really think of, and this was in regards to a tech sergeant,
mm-hmm.
and I still remember his name, Tech Sergeant Curry. I don't know what his problem was in regards to me, but I do believe that his approach was he was trying to get me kicked out of the service. And that was because after
one of them said that to me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that's because I got hurt the first time.
Mm.
So most people, when they see that you're hurt and everything, they, you know, they don't really want to have anything to do with you.
Gotcha.
And I was under his supervision temporarily until, you know, I started getting better, was able to, you know, function normally and as such.
Mm.
But I could just tell that he was trying to poke at every little thing, trying to get me to react in a, you know, disrespectful manner
for sure.
So I can get kicked out.
Yeah, for sure. With no benefits.
There you go.
Exactly.
Now, mind you, he's Caucasian too.
At this point, I'm assuming they all are.
And I try not to, you know, let them get under my skin because, you know, me being African American, I need to know better and I need to already be aware of certain Caucasians. So I went to my first sergeant, Sergeant Guafney, and I tried to express to him. He didn't really seem like he was too interested, and this was a black man. So I decided to use my chain of command once again to go to the commander of my squadron. His name was Colonel Curry. Now, mind you, me thinking that he's African-American, that he would actually be in a little more support of me.
Negative.
He literally told me to my face, I kid you not, I have more important things to worry about than to worry about your concern.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember you telling me that story before.
I should have just jumped over that table and I should have. I should have went Camden.
I ain't gonna lie, Nate. Several times you should have did. You should have, could have, you should have. But I mean, you're a better man for it, and you didn't do it. So I'm proud of you. Do you? And I know it took a lot for you to not do that and stuff like that. Do you feel like holding back that, you know, that frustration and going through those trials and tribulations? Do you feel like some of that caused maybe PTSD for you or?
Yeah, I still experience that from time to time, especially when if I ever do come across anyone who approaches me in a negative way, am I more ready to actually, you know, go off on them? Probably, and I think that's what where my that anger, of course, it still resides. In addition to. What is that? The anxiety.
Anxiety, yeah.
So you
recognize your symptoms as like, you know, alert to anger quickly, maybe, you know, when you get frustrated or uncomfortable, and maybe anxiety.
Right.
So those, do you feel like those are your symptoms? Is there anything else that your body does? Like maybe when you're around a crowd or loudness, anything like that, that you notice from the symptoms of PTSD?
Oh yeah. I jump a lot.
Yeah.
I jump a lot.
Do you like to have your back against the door and stuff, like when you're at restaurants?
I hate when people are behind me. I really do. And, you know, some people, when I mention this, they always assume that it's just black people that cause this. And I'm like, well, no. I mean, if it's true anxiety, PTSD, anybody can set that off. And that's what I get. I was in Walmart one day, and there were three Indian guys, you know, evidently going to University of South Florida, but they all stood behind me. One of them stood so close behind me, I literally had to turn myself sideways to keep my eye on him.
My gosh, Nate.
I didn't know. But you being that close to me,
right.
Listen, I'm ready to do whatever I need to get you off my back.
Right, right.
And it's just that type of anxiety that I get, and that's with anybody.
Yeah.
So I know my anxiety is through the roof.
For sure. Many people would believe that PTSD is not real, and especially when it comes to, like, you know, African American culture. What would you tell people, or what would you tell my spirits and anyone that's listening that's African American or melanated, like, about PTSD and, like, you know, how you can recognize it in yourself?
First, I would say PTSD is real.
Very much.
As much as, you know, I tried to ignore it and whatnot these past few years, it is real.
Mm-hmm.
And it can definitely take effect of you if you're, whether you're ready for it or not. One of the signs, again, that I see is my reaction.
Mm.
My reaction is constantly being alert, constantly being aware.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the situation, I don't know why, but it's just there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to understand these symptoms because, again, when it comes to PTSD, depending on what you're struggling with
mm-hmm.
or what you experienced in your past,
mm-hmm.
you may want to look for similar signs of how you felt back then on how you feel now.
Right, right. Got you. That makes sense. So like, say if, you know, you used to go to a concert and you used to like the loudness and party and stuff, and then now you go, you're like all looking around. You
right.
kind of like try to figure out what happened in between that duration of your lifespan. So
right.
that makes sense. So what would you tell someone? Because I know are you currently going through the transition of like, therapy and healing from PTSD. Tell me a little bit about, like, are you just going to therapy or are you just doing yoga? What you doing?
I have a therapist.
Okay.
And believe it or not, it's kind of funny because whenever I tell my therapist what I struggle with,
mm-hmm.
like awareness and our constant
mm-hmm.
awareness, she really doesn't see that as a bad thing.
Mm.
And it's like every time I tell her about it, she's like, well, you know, that's good that you're aware. I'm like, well, you're not. Maybe
that's why I don't like talking to the VA therapist. They don't take it seriously. I feel like. I got to feel like, okay. But I'm sorry, but normally this does not happen. But since my dad wants to be a part of the podcast and he know we are live, old school boy, you have one question while we're still recording.
Yes, I definitely do.
Yes,
what
sir.
What does that do to your stress level? What does that do to your humanity? What does that do to you?
It keeps me on edge. I kid you not. And believe it or not, it's because it's not constant, it's not something that I worry about all the time, but it's because it's something that I can't seem to control is the reason why I sought therapy.
Mm.
When you can't control it, it gets a little frustrating at times.
Yeah.
I don't want to feel this. I don't want to think that people are constantly after me or wanting to harm me. I don't want to think that way.
Mm.
But again, when I express this to my therapist, she looks at the anxiety aspect of it and says, oh, well, you know what? It's good to be aware.
Because it's like a survival tactic. But who wants to be in survival mode every day, all day?
I don't want to.
Some people want to relax.
I was up at Starbucks one morning. And mind you, I go up there to a Starbucks over close to my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I want to assume that they're probably displaced or they're homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And this gentleman walks up and he has this full-size luggage bag. And he walks up to the building. I sit outside, not mm-hmm. because of anxiety or anything. It's just because it's quiet outside.
Right.
And he walks up to the building and he places his large luggage bag somewhat close to me.
Mm.
And then he goes inside the building.
Mm.
Now, mind you, have been trained to look out for such things, it frustrated me because all I kept doing was looking at his bag
mm-hmm.
the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's in his bag.
Right. You're curious. Like, it could be a bomb. It could be anything.
Boom. I always get wow. that sensation
yeah,
when
so...
I see things like that. And again, I don't want that anymore.
Right.
But I can't seem to stop it. And my therapist, again, she applauds me for being vigilant, but she's not really helping me, I guess, reduce this vigilancy. Now, mind you, she tells me, you know, how do you manage not to, you know, let your anxiety get the best of you? And I'm, you know, I continuously
right.
remind
you
myself that
processes.
I'm not overseas.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not in I'm not on base.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not responsible for security. And I just want to assume that nobody's not trying to blow up anything.
Right, right.
So I constantly keep trying to feed myself that, but then it's the combat side of me that keeps saying, oh, you better look, you better watch, you better, it's just, yeah.
Wow, wow. So you definitely, you're still like going through that process. You're still taking the serious steps. I know you work out, you go to the gym and things like that. So you're still trying to basically heal from that. Right. Do you have any final thoughts about like your overall process or just in general? Any final thoughts for my spirit?
If anyone is struggling from PTSD of any sorts, the most important thing, of course, is to seek professional counseling with hopes that, you know, that individual can at least coerce you into working out some type of remedy for yourself, whether it's listening to music, exercising, going on long walks, maybe taking vacations once in a while, something to I guess, help manage yourself so you don't wind up in all of this, you know, collaborating onto you and then you wind up flipping out.
Gotcha.
In addition, it's probably important to also do breathing exercises, things like that, something to help relax you, keep you calm, keep your mind focused on other things that are more pleasing than allowing your PTSD to take hold and, of course, eventually stress you out.
For sure. Well, I thank you so much for being a part of the show. Thank you for sharing your stories with us and just letting us know everything else. So I look forward to having you back. Spirits, thank you so much for listening and stay tuned for the outro. And I will let you know all his handles. Lego. Well, that is all, spirits. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for tuning in and staying until the final part, the final part of the show. This is the outro. So I do want to say final thought really quick, literally. And I know the quote kind of said this, but stop allowing people to force their plans and obligations onto you. Do not move into 2023. Leave that into 2022. For real, spirits. But I do want to thank Nathaniel Porter so much for being on the show. And spirits, don't forget to hit that bell, that subscribe button. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to share. Don't forget to comment. I want to hear from you. Like, I cannot do this without you. I love you. Like, I thought we were building a bond. Some of you are hitting me up and I love that. Like, you tell me how I'm doing, what I could do better. I love it. Constructive criticism is my middle name. Okay. So don't get it twisted. I want to hear from you. So please don't be shy. If you're inclined, reach out. I would love that. But again, thank you so much for listening. And handles coming your way. I said it before. I believe I said it before, but I'll say it again. If you do want to follow Nathaniel Porter on Instagram, he is at Jersey Author. That is JerseyAuthor. N.J. Porter. And then he is also on Facebook as well, just under Nathaniel Porter. Or I'm sorry, Nate, N-A-T-E-K, as in Kilo, West Porter. So many. But yes, so. And also, if you go to his Facebook as well as his Instagram, you can check out his website. Let me see if I can pull it up. And oh yeah, there it is. So the website is, it's called carmenatnoble.com. So it's on it. It's going to be on his Instagram. So carmenatnoble.com. I'm sorry. I lied. It's www.njportercarmen.com. Again, that's www.njportercarmen.com. So yeah, that's where you can go to check out that book. I mean, the way he explained it, I cannot wait to finish school because I'm going to read all of these books. I hate not like being a part of the book clubs. You know what I'm saying, spirits? So I got to be a part of it. my handle's coming my way, coming your way. Follow me on my artist Instagram page. That is Miss Kiki Mau Poetry, MZKIKIKAMAUPOETRY. That is Miss Kiki Mau Poetry on Instagram. On YouTube, artist is Miss Kiki Mau. Don't forget that YouTube video is coming out tonight at 8 p.m. How to celebrate Kwanzaa, the sixth day, Kuamba creativity. But you already know today we celebrating unity, UNITY. Ow. Don't forget to follow me also on my business page at Kamau Empire CPR. That's Kamau Empire CPR. Also, you can find me on Facebook at Orkia Kamau. That's O-R-K-I-Y-A-K-A-M-A-U. Website will be back in January. You already know, but you can definitely Google me at KamauEmpire.com. We are not available for Kwanzaa spirits, but you can still reach out to us for free consultations and get to know and understand your culture. If you are melanated, if you are not, still know it, still love it, still appreciate it. Until next time. And I know that was a lot, but until next time, I look forward to hearing from you. I look forward to speaking with you, and I look forward to empathizing with you. Until next time, fly high, spirits.